Welcome to episode 14 of Booze Beater. Thank you very much for taking the time to tune in. As per all the other episodes, I start off by saying this is purely for entertainment purposes. There's no medical instruction here. If you're looking to curtail your drinking or give it up entirely, all I'm looking to do is have a chat about my experiences and put it out there and give my listenership a feel for the various topics. As a background, you might be saying, who is this guy? If it's the first episode that you've tuned into, I recommend going back and listening to episode one. It's an introduction to why I gave up alcohol, why I stopped drinking, which I did in November 2009. So November 2019, I'll have 10 years. And this episode, I'm extremely excited because I have my first guest, who I connected with on Instagram, named Aaron Sober Sunrise. And we're just going to have a conversation around both of our sobriety to give you guys out there who are considering it a feel of what it's like to live a sober lifestyle. Okay, Aaron, so we're live now on the podcast. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me on this episode. And for those that don't know, Aaron is on Instagram. That's how I connected with him. He's got a great account, Sober Sunrise. It's a fantastic feed that makes you envious of good weather and winning races, because this guy is a runner and he wins races to beat the band, and he's based in Thailand. So, Aaron, maybe we'll just start off with you just giving a background to yourself and your sobriety date and why you decided to come on the podcast, please.
Yeah, sure. It's great to join you. Obviously, I've been following your podcast since you started it. And obviously, when you put it out there to see if anyone wanted to be your first guest, I was sort of thinking about it. I thought, it's a bit out of my comfort zone. But that's the whole reason I started up my Sober Sunrise account, was to sort of reach out to people and, you know, possibly help others that were thinking about maybe giving up booze. My sobriety date is the 24th of December 2017.
Okay.
So 13 months today, actually.
Congratulations on that. I'm gonna have to ask.
Thank you.
Christmas Eve, like I know there's there's random dates everywhere. Myself and yourself were just talking about a pal who gave up on Paddy's Day. So Christmas Eve, what prompted you on Christmas Eve to say, I've had my fill?
Well, I know a lot of people start New Year's resolutions, obviously, the first day of the year. But I thought, you know, if you can get past that tricky period first,
sure,
it'd probably give you a bit of confidence to go on. But I think living abroad, the Christmases aren't the same anyway. Like when I go home or I'm at home, you're always, you know, reconnecting with friends, and it always leads to pints and drinking and, you know, naturally catching up. So I think it's slightly different living away from here. But I think, you know, a few weeks before that day, I think I lost my third bank card when I was out on a bit of a session.
Okay.
And it just, you know, it's just the little things like that. I thought, I'm too old for this and can't carry on like this. So I just stopped when it is my time, I think.
Do you think it's been easier for you to remain sober, the fact that you do live abroad, than if you were at home and the same circle of friends, that type of thing?
Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. And when I did go home, my friends were really supportive of the decision. And I was pleased to go home with 7 months of sobriety already.
Brilliant.
So they knew it, you know, it wasn't just willpower, and they knew I was actually taking this quite seriously. I do think the people that I've met out here have only known me for a year and a half.
Sure.
So they've only actually known me as a drinker for maybe 3 or 4 months. A lot of people that I've met this year, obviously, have only known me to be sober. So I think in that regards, yeah, it's been slightly easier.
And what were the toughest things you found when you gave up alcohol first?
The tough, toughest things. I guess everyone around you really wants you to have that drink.
Absolutely, you know, yeah.
It's just like, oh, come on, seriously, like, when are you going to snap out of it? And it's almost like they don't quite believe what they're hearing. And a lot of my really good mates sort of said, oh, good for you, you know, we all saw the way that you drank and you could moderate and things like that.
Sure.
It's a sensible decision. But then the next sentence would sort of be, but will it be forever? Like, how long are you going to keep this up for? As much as they're trying to say the right things, I think I just shocked a lot of people when I chose to stop.
I can relate to that. The exact same. There's people say that the right things, or what they perceive as the right things. But at the other side of it, they're going, how long is this going to go on for? They sort of want an end date. Which.
Were any of your friends, you know, were they supportive when you started telling them? Would you have any surprises?
Yeah, no, I had surprises. I got to be honest with you. Yeah, I'd get, so it's 10 years back, but I'd get messages from mates with, you could just tell by clockwork when you remove yourself from the, your weekly drinking, which is your Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. I get, and technology wasn't as advanced, and I'm sort of thankful for that, where I wouldn't be getting WhatsApp messages where, you know, WhatsApp is just a playground now at this stage, and it seems to be the new TV, like between 7 and 9 in the evening. But I'd be getting text messages like, and just the lads like, oh, we miss you. This is it's a great night out, Damo. And you get FOMO, fear of missing out. But generally they were good, but you know, there'd be a lot of banter with it as well. I had mates who go,
yeah,
like, I've been called, you're a bit weird, Damo, you know, like, this isn't normal. And you're there like, you know, well, it's not that weird. I'll give you one example which sums it up, and it's probably parochial, but Paddy's Day, I used to have a dog, like, he was a Yorkshire Terrier, so he was a small dog, so the lads used to rip the piss out of me walking, seeing you walking your massive dog, Damo, but he was a small little Yorkshire Terrier, and he was full of personality. And my really good mate of mine said, he seen me on Paddy's Day about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, walking the dog, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the day, and his mindset, and we would have been big booze hounds together and go to football matches and away on holidays. His mindset, he said, when he'd seen, he didn't straight away distinguish it was me as he was driving by in his car walking the dog. He said, who's that weirdo walking a dog on Paddy's Day? That's how entrenched the mindset is in Ireland, that in Paddy's Day, you just cut loose, you go on a session, you're drinking from 10, 11 o'clock in the day, you's all barrel into the pub. And I think some of it is, like, I've had lads say to me as well, Damo, you weren't that bad with drink. Like, you know, it's not like you knocked your missus about or you ended up in fights or anything like that. But I think your mates aren't aware of the self-loading. I had a lot of self-loading.
Yeah.
With it, I know, like, you're big into fitness. Actually, that's probably a question for yourself. How do you think it's affected your fitness, giving up alcohol?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's made me more productive on the weekend. So it means I can go out for runs on Sundays, and that, you know, always be the day where I'd just be lying on the sofa watching Netflix. So I feel like I've got far more time. And I used to find that my main drinking sessions used to be on like a Saturday night. So
sure,
I'd feel sick sometimes on Monday night, Tuesday morning still, when I'm trying to recover. So without that now, you know, that sort of cloud hanging over me, I feel like I can really push on a little bit and, yeah, reach higher levels of fitness, which I'm really enjoying.
Brilliant.
I think it's been a real positive, definitely.
I
was thinking about this the other day. Someone said, you must feel great, you haven't had a drink, you know, over a year. But I'm actually almost forget what that feeling was like when you were drinking maybe once a week or twice a week. So yeah, you know, when I've done dry Januaries before and I felt amazing during that month.
Okay.
And now it's been so long, you know, I'm almost forgetting how that felt.
So when you mention like the time that you used to drink on the Saturday and that, how are you feeling that time that like it, you, that Saturday evenings, is it meals? Is it cinema? Is it festival? Are you doing the same things but without alcohol, or what's the MO there?
Well, I play football Saturday nights with a group of lads over here in Thailand. So that's like, you know, 7 till 9. And
sure.
Then obviously, because of the time difference, all the football matches are on at 10 o'clock.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, going home or staying out and watching the games. So I'm kept occupied on Saturday evenings, but I do still go to bars and celebrate people's engagements and birthdays, and I'm still happy to be around people that are drinking, and they're more than happy for me to be there as well.
Excellent.
And then it just reaches that point in the night where they get a bit too drunk, and then that's when I know it's time to go, I suppose.
So you and I have had that conversation before, that we enjoy the pub life still. We enjoy going to bars, watching football,
yeah.
Drinking soft drinks, that element out of it. Have you found you've dealt with temptation then, or have you had temptation to drink?
Yeah, it's really not willpower anymore. I really don't want to drink. I was in a bar. A few of us go to Bangkok. A few lads from work, we go to Bangkok to celebrate like the end of term.
Sure.
Now we're drinking on the minibus up there and drinking throughout the whole weekend. And I love it. I think it's a good laugh, and I join in with it all. But there's this one bar where you had to buy an alcoholic drink on entrance. And I really didn't want one, so I just asked what one of the guys wanted, and I had to stand there in this bar
and act as if you were drinking
with a Bacardi breezer in my hand, just so that they didn't keep approaching us to buy more drinks. And yeah, I really didn't want it at all. Didn't want to get involved. So. I have been up on that trip before where I've had a couple of 0% beers, actually.
Okay.
Just to feel a part of it. And I was going to ask you what your thoughts are on, you know, alcohol-free beers and mocktails and things like that. Do you drink them?
Very rarely. When I first gave up alcohol, I was sort of doing it to placate others around me. So in fairness, like, I felt from my mum, who'd buy non-alcoholic wine for a meal, and you know, I'd be there you go, Damien, there's your non-alcoholic wine, and I'd be very appreciative of the gesture, but it just, I didn't want to drink it. I was there, this tastes rotten. And I never really, to be honest, I think it comes back to the type of drinker I was. So I was, are you still there? Sorry. So the type of binge drinker I was, I never really drank too much for the taste of it. Like, I recall, I don't know, when you look at things like the World Health Organization and they have audits on how much you drink, and they go 1 to 4 or whatever like that. Like, I never felt it was a night out unless you had 7 or 8 pints minimum, which is, you know, that's binge drinking at its finest. I was never one that was like, luckily, my drinking days were before all this craft beer sort of, oh, refined taste or things like that. When I drank, it was to party. Like, if they didn't have a certain type of beer, say, and I don't want to list it, but you know, it wouldn't upset me for the night. I'd be able to go, oh well, I'll have this, or I'll have this instead, or I'd move to shorts or things like that. So non-beers, I think I never really went down that route. I sort of put my stance out there very early on that no, I'm not drinking. I'll drink soft drinks. I'll drink Lucozade, or now I'm onto soda waters and limes and things like that. And I had one occasion where I was over in London. I was in a bar and I was drinking soda water and limes, and I think one of the girls that was out was drinking soda waters and vodkas, and the drinks got mixed up, and I took a sip of her drink, and I recall just the burning sensation like a kid when you had your first drink. Do you recall that, where it was sort of like the heat in your chest?
Yeah.
And it just came off the vodka straight away, and I went, oh, that's not my drink. So I've heard a couple of stories around people drinking beer and forgetting that they were mixing it up, and I sort of like the distinction. I'm similar to you, that I'm that adamant that I don't want to drink, I just don't want to take the risk with non-alcoholic beers. I know that mightn't go over quite well to some people listening, but I think that's the way I am with it. I've one thing, and I don't want to hog it before I get into the next question, but I remember reading Anthony Kiedis's autobiography, and he was clean a long, long time, and then he went to a dentist, and he didn't brief them on his sobriety, and they juiced him up for a difficult extraction, and he literally got high off it, came out, and decided he wanted to go and score a bag of heroin. And I remember, reading it going, did he want to do that? Like, was he looking for the excuse for it? And then I ended up in a very similar scenario, not doing heroin, by the way, but I had a difficult extraction, and they had to give me two or three further shots to numb it. The dentist, she made a Horlicks of it. And I remember I was flying. Like, I was on cloud nine. It was like your first time getting pissed again. And I was like, seriously, the crash afterwards, I went to bed at like 3 o'clock in the day, and I was miserable. Like, I mean, I was like, I just didn't like it at all. So I suppose, sorry, that's a very long-winded answer to a short question, but yeah, they're not for me.
I was also going to ask you, you've been sober almost 10 years. Do your friends ever still try and, you know, push for it to see if you change your mind and put a bit of peer pressure on?
At this stage, no. I defined, I still have good mates from that period, but they sort of know. I hung out with them sort of not the same frequency, but would go, you know, you'd be out those occasions like landmark birthdays and weddings or stags, but after a while you just don't fit. I don't mean that to put people off sobriety, but your lifestyle and their lifestyle doesn't gel. And I found, I'll give you a quick example, being at a stags in Aberdeen, and on the Sunday the lads are on the beer, and at this stage, you know, I have no affinity to want to go into another pub after 3 days, and I'm going doing things like getting my hair cut, going running, buying clothes, and I'm making myself sound like, I don't know, Reese Witherspoon or something, but it's just like that dead time of sitting in the pub. And even the lads were going, they don't want to be sitting looking at me, because they're going, damn, oh, you look too healthy, like, for fuck's sake, like, you know, have a burger or something like that. And they're not trying to bring you down. But I had one of the lads said to me at it, so there was a group of mates, and as happens, other mates started coming into the circle that I wouldn't have known as well. And I remember I made a decision then at this stags, this is the last stags I'm going to, I'm not putting myself in this situation, but one of the blow-in buddies sort of said, you're very lucky that the lads still hang out with you. And I burst out laughing and said back to him, they're lucky I hang out with them. And he was there like, what? And he's there like, Is there, they're lucky I hang out with them. Like, all they're doing is sitting in the same pub on the same street for the past 2 days. Like, you know, it's not exactly the Ritz here. And he was like,
yeah,
completely, yeah. He just couldn't get his head around that mindset. So I think...
Well, I've had that in pubs as well. I'll be sat there with friends who are drinking all day. And I'm like you, I was sort of go big or go home.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't understand how they'd happily just have, you know, pints at a very slow pace. And their behaviour didn't really seem to change. They didn't seem to get that buzz. And they'd just start getting drowsy and tired.
Yeah.
And I'd be like really energetic, wanting to do something. And yeah, I really don't get the fear of missing out. In that regard,
can I ask you then, and this one sounds a bit topical and I'm not playing up to movements or stuff like that, but do you think people question your masculinity when you give up alcohol?
I think there's definitely, you know, a lad culture around drinking, and I picked up my sort of drinking habits at uni. I just turned 18 in the July. I was off at uni in the September, and it was, you know, relentless. It was lots of drinking, sort of 3 times a week. And
yeah,
we'd have like a circle, which is like a bit of a formal drinking session, and you'd take 12 cans to that before you went out.
Yeah.
And I think that's really why I can't moderate, because that sort of behaviour was encouraged.
Absolutely.
And it was a bit like, yeah, let's say you can drink the most. And I think after I left university, I couldn't get that out of my system. I couldn't go out for the 2 or 3. I'd go out to get absolutely hammered, like I'd learned at uni, really. I think there is certainly that aspect of, you know, lad culture, for sure.
Okay, and then if we go back a little to the non-alcoholic drinks, and I'm always reminded of them. Have you seen the film The Departed?
Yes.
So you know when Leo DiCaprio orders his cranberry juice?
Yeah.
And they say, what is it, your period? And I'm wondering, I find with people when they give up alcohol first, the circle that I've been in, they sort of don't want to have that. Like, I've had lads almost looking to put cocktail umbrellas into the non-alcoholic drinks to highlight the fact that, oh, there's Damo with his non-alcoholic, like with his soda water or whatever like that. And yeah. I think, you know, it's easier to, if I'm being honest, I'd still do it a little bit. If I go into a new pub to watch a match, I'd order something like a Lucozade to sort of,
yeah,
non-highlight the fact that I'm not drinking, which is a bit, I think the non-alcoholic advertisers are missing a trick there, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta ask you about, you raised just off air I make this sound ultra professional, but you raised off air that you're getting a tattoo this weekend.
Yes, it's I'm gonna have a 3-hour tattoo on my foot. So I'm sure it won't be a pleasant 3 hours, but yeah, I'm getting like a sort of like mandala sort of pattern all over my foot.
Brilliant. So is it going to incorporate colour?
This one's not, no, but I had my first colour tattoo back in July. I was in the UK and it was so painful. It's just the fact that, I don't know if you've had sort of colour splashed on top, but
yeah,
obviously they do the black and grey, and that's sore from that, and then they go and put the colour on top of that one, still really tender, so a real killer, that one. So luckily no colour this weekend.
So any sobriety tattoos or anything that relates to it?
No, there's not. I've seen quite a lot of people with that sort of periodic table TT, you know, standing for teetotal.
Sure.
I'm not sure if I would. I just think, if, you know, forever's a long time, and as much as I don't plan to drink again,
yeah,
I'd feel a bit silly if, you know, in my old age I was enjoying a whiskey or something, I had that tattooed to me.
Sure.
I'm proud to be sober, but I'm not sure I want it marked on my body at this stage anyway.
I get that.
What about yourself?
I've toyed around with it a long time, similar to yourself. I think you've about 6 or 7 tattoos, have you? Have you more?
I'm on 8 at the moment.
Yeah, I'm in and around the same. And I find now I just get a period of time, you get a tattoo, the itch is scratched, and then about 6 months later, the process begins again, and it just starts getting into your mindset.
You've got Instagram, haven't you, and Pinterest.
Exactly.
Forever.
And
looking at great ideas.
And that's it. And I just get creative with it. And I've got some that I look at and I go, where was I at this point in my life? Why did I get that? And I like the creative element of it, and I like the journey element of it. And the more I'm definitely open to getting a tattoo that relates to non-drinking. It's got meaning to me, this tattoo, but it probably doesn't to others that are looking at it. So I've got a stormtrooper on my calf, with colour, that I got done at a convention on roses. I'm wearing a beanie, and the beanie was colour. He's sort of a metallic stormtrooper, and then the roses were colour, and I got it on the calf for 3 hours, and I've both rib cages done, but I was surprised at the pain of it. But when I got the stormtrooper, I have a lamppost tattooed on me, right?
What's the meaning behind that?
You know what I'll do? I promise I'll post the lamppost on Instagram. I'll get Gemma to take a picture of it when she comes in.
Get it trending.
I guarantee you will just crack up laughing at it. And I remember when I was getting it done, the artist she was measuring and putting the it's like an old school 18th century sort of lamppost. You know, the ones that you sort of expect in a Sherlock Holmes thing, and I like the white ink that it was thrown out, and I just sort of like the idea. It's mixed in with a landscape, but I get that SAD. I miss the summer when we don't have it. You don't have that problem at the moment. And I've sort of use it as a bit of inspiration. Look, at least you're getting some sort of light out of this. And I think on everything you put it, you frame it and you put a story around it. But I'm more open. I have that random of tattoos now. I'd probably consider, I have an idea in my head that I can never shake, but I can't get it constructed enough to get it on skin, of Donkey Kong smashing a barrel, and sort of something like never hung over. But look, I'm giving everyone great entertainment value on this. And sort of, as you said at the start, let's not go off topic. Let's not talk Spurs or Everton. You being an Everton fan, and then
the less we talk about that, the better at the moment.
Well, I got to ask you, have you been to Goodison sober?
As a child, yeah, but I've had, every time I've been as an adult, I've had a few beers beforehand.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was drunk, but it's just part of the process. Most people go and have a few beers before the game.
Sure.
But I've heard you briefly talk about sports events sober.
Yeah.
And I definitely enjoy sport a lot more now that I've stopped drinking. Like you said, you can really take in the game and sort of watch it fully with all your attention.
Absolutely.
When I went to the pub to watch games, I was actually sat there just, having a chat with my friends, and it was very much background.
Yeah.
I really enjoy watching sports sober.
So.
And I love the atmosphere of live events sober, and yeah, it's good.
Is football your main sport? Are you interested in any others?
Football's definitely the main sport. I'll happily watch most sports, really. I struggle to watch a whole day of cricket and things like that, or golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Generally speaking, I can watch all sports. Like I can, you know, people might think this is really boring, but I love watching like the London Marathon and big events like that. Absolutely love it.
So you've led me on to that one nicely. You're going to do the first marathon this year?
Yes. I was actually feeling a bit under the weather a couple of weeks ago. I was sat on the sofa for 2 days. And I started to feel a bit guilty about not exercising. So I thought, right, I need to go and do something outrageous. And yeah, signed up for my first full marathon. So
fantastic.
Thanks very much for going for that.
So you were saying, is it July?
June time. So
June.
Quite a hot time of year in Thailand. I'm doing it down in Phuket.
Fantastic. I noticed on Instagram you and I, and probably more so yourself, a lot of your followers are they're all runners, or they've considered running, or they're taking that on board. How do you find running has benefited with sobriety?
I think it's a great sort of stress release, definitely, and sort of clears your mind, and it's time consuming as well, so it might kill all those hours. I know, you know, a lot of people I follow talk about when they used to drink. It was very much get home from work, crack open a bottle of wine or a can of beer.
Sure.
So if you're replacing that with something like a long run, that's good. And after you've run, for me anyway, I feel like eating something healthy and, you know, just rehydrating and.
Absolutely.
I think it sets the tone, I suppose, once you've been on that run.
Okay, so one point that I was, or one area of sobriety I was going to talk to you about and mention, I actually came up in conversation with my better half recently, was just your partner or seeking a partner and not having alcohol as a conduit. So how have you found that? And basically, you know, do you find, like, were you single when you gave up alcohol, or
I've been with my fiance now for coming up to 4 years, and
okay,
she's never really been a drinker, which has really helped. And I suppose one of the big reasons I did give up was the sort of pressures that I was putting on the relationship. It was very much a case of, you know, I'd go out and have a good time, and she'd feel the need to almost look after me. And she started telling me towards the end of my drinking days that she'd start actually getting nervous about going on social events with me.
Okay.
Just because she was the one that had to, you know, take care of me. And
That obviously had to be tough to hear.
It was, and it was a real reality check as well. We went to a wedding together maybe 2 or 3 years back now, and I fell asleep at the table in front of all our friends, and, you know, it's embarrassing for her as much as it is for me. So, yeah, that was a real reality check, and I think having her by my side, and she's very supportive, obviously. And our relationship's been a lot better since I stopped drinking.
Brilliant.
So the fact she's not a drinker is great, because, you know, she's not always looking to go to the pub and things like that. So
great.
Yeah, I've been really fortunate there. Yeah.
When's the big day?
Not for another 14 months. So it's next April. Getting married over in Thailand.
Fantastic.
So looking forward to that one. Thought we'd give our, you know, relatives and friends a bit of time to save.
Brilliant.
To come out. So yeah, it's exciting stuff. Got a stag do between now and then, so
what?
I don't know how that's going to go. I'll leave that with my best man and my groomsman.
Yeah, I haven't been on a sober stag. I've a mate actually who's probably listening to this, and I'm always trying to do them in, and get him to pop the question so I can have a sober stags, and possibly the fact that he's bride to be, it'd be stateside, and I love the States. I'm a Yankophile. and any reason to get over there. I'm just trying to do them in that respect. But I'm definitely interested in that. I'll have to interview you again coming up to that, just to find out how the plans are going or suggestions, all that type of thing. I was going to ask you about just Instagram, how you found it since you've got on it, because like Sober Sunrise, it's a, you know, it speaks for itself. It's a powerful handle, and you seem to have a great following on it. You seem to enjoy it a lot too.
Yeah, I've really got into it. So I stopped drinking on Christmas Eve, and I, from my personal account, I just started following quite a few people who were sober, and I found for months I was just sort of taking.
Sure.
And then I turned 30 last July, and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to put myself out there. I don't know about the people that you follow, but the majority are women. And I thought, there's not many men sort of openly talking about sobriety or being sober curious. So
yeah.
I thought, well, I'm just going to start this account just in the hope that it might help one person. I have been enjoying it, and it's always nice as well when you hear from people you know or you don't know, you know, just sort of saying thank you, and since following you, I've thought about giving up and things. It's all been really positive, and it's a really, obviously, great community, as you probably know. And, you know, I find myself scrolling through loads of accounts of sober people that I feel like I know.
Yeah.
I sort of follow along their journeys, but I don't. But it's, I think when you initially give up drinking as well, it can feel quite isolating, and no one around you really gets it. So to have that group of people online, absolutely massive help. I'm guessing there that you didn't have Instagram when you gave up.
No, there was.
Do you think people spoke less openly about sobriety 10 years ago?
Yeah, much, very much so. I, like, none of the circle of friends that I had ever considered giving up alcohol. There was no such thing as a dry January. The only sort of reference point I had was I'd Google celebrities that had given up alcohol and would try and follow their stories. But after a while, and I appreciate people can be dismissive at this point or a bit mumbo jumbo on it, but I think it becomes easier to, you just sort of, you identify people who don't drink more and who are quieter about it then, if that makes sense. Like, I could, you know, after a while, you just sort of begin to clock, actually, that lad over there never looks hungover. And then friendships evolved with those people on it. So one of my best friends, who's going to be godfather to my baby, has never drank and never wanted to drink. And this guy, he's a Spurs fan as well, which helps. And he's a Dublin GAA fan. I don't know if you know GAA, but when we go places, he's the loudest bloody one in the room. I have to say, will you keep it down? And I'm not, he's just great crack. He's always been that way. And
yeah,
he, I just find I've more and more friends that I've now got in my life, because we just share the similar interests. We're not into going out boozing. We're not in, and it's not it's not trying to run down someone else. It's just you start to put your energy into fostering that friendship, and then yapping, and you find you're much more similar to yourself. You've got more time to put into it. So be it WhatsApp or traveling to meet. But initially, my first thing was things like message boards. And to be honest, what you'd find is what I like about Instagram is it's much easier to stay connected over a long time. Like, you'd follow these message boards, and people would be describing their sobriety, like, and you'd see regular posts, and next thing they just drop off the face of the earth, and you'd go,
yeah.
Like, it sounds terrible, but you'd get emotionally attached, and you go, like, are they all right, you know? And you can't seek that out on it, and that's the thing where I think it's great that we have this conversation now, and, like, I have your number on WhatsApp and things like that, but, you know, it's great that friendships evolve like that a little bit further now with the technology, it gets past just the thing that you're doing, which is sobriety, and it gets into...
Well, I also think that sobriety almost can connect as well. If you meet someone in a pub, for example, or anywhere, and they mention, I don't actually drink, straight away you've got that in common, haven't you? And you can have that chat about that. But you mentioned... your mate, who's one of the loudest in there, who's never drank.
Yeah.
Do you think since you've stopped drinking, you've become more confident as a person?
Absolutely no. Yeah, I think alcohol for me was a bit of a crutch for the first sort of icebreakers in conversation. You know, you go to the pub, you rock in, there's people you don't know. The first thing you're talking about is what you're drinking, or how many you've had, or whether someone needs another one or not, or someone with a round. And it's sort of, they're staples that you can just bounce off. Whereas now I feel I've much more varied interests, and I've much more I've no fear when I go into, like, still a little bit, like, where you go, look, if people don't like me, they're not going to like me, but I can take it or leave it a bit. Recently I was at the Chiefs game over in Kansas, and we went to the tailgate where all these people start drinking at 7 o'clock in the morning. The game starts at 12, and it's called the tailgate because they drive up in their 4x4s and they lift out their coolers, and these guys were hitting it hard. And they liked Gemma and I when we were there. We were having a great yap with them. And the odd time, even now, 10 years sober, I found we were getting on so well with these lads. They go, here's a beer, Damon. And they chuck one. I'd have to throw it back and go, don't drink, buddy. Sorry. And they go, oh, sorry about that. But it was just, you know, it wasn't that they were in any way derogatory towards me not drinking. They were just going, having crack with this lad, there's a beer, you know, and you're going,
Yeah.
Nah, I can't, I'm on the soft drinks or whatever like that.
It's a nice gesture, isn't it? It's a nice gesture from them. They don't know.
Exactly, they don't know what it, and I think you just get a bit confident with it. The hardest one I found it a lot out of it, and I'm confident with it, but I was in a different corporate world for a while, and corporate world is very, you know, alcohol greases the wheels, so to speak, sporting events and things like that. And those ones at times, I just find I have less patience to be explaining my point of view or things like that when you're sort of, you're on the clock. Does that make sense? You're sort of going, oh, here I go again. I have to be interrogated by someone that I don't really know, that I don't know whether their business is worthwhile or not. And they're all about alcohol consumption and how wild they are and going to Bogota in Colombia or things. And I'd find I'd have a much lower threshold for that element of explaining who I am or other elements to my personality than sort of being out with your mates or people who you could see being your mates down the line. Those sort of nights, I wouldn't look forward to it at all.
We're together all day doing all these workshops, and we're all getting along really well.
Sure.
And this guy pops into a shop for like a roadie, one for the road. Buys cans for everyone there. Hands me a can, and I just said no thanks. I didn't serve him drink. I just said no thanks, and he just looked at me and went, "You're boring." And I thought, you know, it actually reflects more on him.
Absolutely.
Me. Like, you know, I didn't know the guy, and I was like, if that's his opinion, fine, but, you know, that's not going to pressure me into it. But it's funny, isn't it, how people make those assumptions straight away.
I think, absolutely, and I've seen, one or two things. I think that's, to go back to the point of Instagram, that's one of the things where a lot of posts and experiences of other people on Instagram fortify you. With, like, I've seen a post before with that experience you've had where it says that reflects more on that guy and his relationship with alcohol than yours. And I find, like, my partner is going to be 1 year sober on Sunday. So that's the 26th. And to be honest, it just fit in with her lifestyle and our relationship. I think that she decided to give up alcohol, and there's things like, sort of, she's mentioned before, certain tricks of circumstances where she'd find difficult. Again, that corporate element where you said, where she'd be out and, you know, to be dudes at a table and the wine is going around and she's there. How do you deal with, you know, someone constantly trying to fill your glass with wine? And there, I tell the waiter at the start when I sit down, you can take that wine glass. And she goes, yeah, I never thought of that. It just takes you out of that circumstance. But there's always going to be a blindsider like you got. And it's the blindsiders where you, I think, if you have to sort of have that robust mind to be able to say, look, do you know what?
I think what helps with that as well is, you know, I'm not proud of this, especially now, but that was me. I wouldn't outright tell someone that they're boring, but deep down I think, well, why aren't they having a drink? You know, it sort of not upset me, but I'm like, oh, almost like I was disappointed. So I'm not too quick to judge others that, you know, make that assumption about me. It just reflects on them.
It's great that you've got that approach to it, though, so soon after giving up alcohol. Like, I have to say, you are strides ahead of where I would have been after a year. I was very much one of the countdown people. And I'm not, again, being derogatory towards that. I actually, now that I'm sober so long, I feel for people that, you know, those accounts where they put up each day sober. And
yeah.
I feel for them because I'm going, it's almost complete tunnel vision. You're going, give yourself a break a bit, where you're going, you know, even after 99 days, they're going, 99 days sober, and you're going, you know, you're putting an awful lot of pressure on yourself every day to have to re-examine it. Like, it'd be nice to go every week, for example, and then every month and every year.
Yeah. I personally don't think I was addicted, and I wouldn't have called myself an alcoholic. I don't know, do you feel you were addicted to alcohol?
I think, one point to condition the conversation, someone put up a post before, and I think it's a very good way of looking at it. Alcoholic sounds like a dirty word to some people, you know, like they say, oh, you had a dependency on it. And I was going, did I have a dependency? Like, I drank like you at college or uni and years before it. And I think if I wasn't out on a weekend for whatever reason, I was broke or, you know, under the weather or something like that, my mood wouldn't be good. So it wouldn't be that I'd have a physical dependency to get alcohol through the day. But I found, like, if I went on holidays away with my mates, I'd drink every night on those holidays and most of the days, until the ones where I drank myself that I couldn't drink anymore, or I was so hungover I couldn't drink. Now, if you say, but, oh, I wasn't one of these guys who needed to drink on a job or go into, do you need a drink first thing in the morning or something like that? I go, no, I didn't need a drink first thing in the morning, but I recall being on the Stags and getting up and going straight on the sauce into an early house on my own. That's not good. So I don't. Yeah. But I'd never have a, when I made the decision, like I never did the AA steps. I definitely think my alcohol consumption was ramping up. I was drinking, you know, the way, like, say you went on the beer on a Friday and Saturday, and next thing it start creeping in on a Sunday, or a Thursday night you'd have a couple, but it wouldn't be the blowout that a Friday would be, and then it was a bad habit.
I just wonder if those, you know, those, like, going back to what you're talking about on Instagram with those day counters, you know, I just wonder if some people who drank every day, sort of battling it every day, I don't know, perhaps they use it more than people like the way we used to drink would.
Absolutely. Yeah, I see that, and I think I've huge empathy for them to be in that situation. I feel sorry for, like, not sorry, sorry is the wrong word, but I'd love them to get further along down the line where they don't have to do that and life is easier for them.
Yeah.
That's the element of it. When you go through it and you have empathy for people. I've seen the other side. I've seen one aspect, and I don't want to completely monopolize the conversation, but I've seen people getting a lot of hate at times where they like recently, you know, your man Bam Margera, the dude that was on.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I thought like it's how quickly we forget the situation it was like to give up alcohol for the first time and how tough it was. Like, it is a very tough scenario. I don't, you know, everyone can gild a lily or frame things the way they want. And I probably, if you ask me in episode one of this podcast, I'd probably frame it completely differently than I would now, because I'd be more worried about people's preconceptions of me or people's thoughts about. But I seen your man Bam getting a lot of hate where people are going, oh, his mindset is wrong, the party is over, and it's his third time and things like that. I think, you know, that guy, his whole lifestyle has been built around, like, his income has been built around it, his job, his family relationships, his buddies, his persona has been about this party guy. And all of a sudden now you're going to take that away from him and going, I'm just rooting for the dude, you know? I'm absolutely rooting for the dude. And I want them to...
Everyone goes about it differently, don't they?
Absolutely.
But he's obviously making positive steps, which is good.
I think the positive steps are... Actually, that's... Maybe we'll sum up with that, if I could. What are the most positive things you've got out of giving up alcohol in your sobriety? Like, if you were to list four or five where you just go, this is, I wouldn't have achieved this, or I wouldn't be living this way because of the decision you made.
I think one of my favourite things is just, I love the mornings and the weekends where I don't have, like, that guilt from the night before. I'm not trying to make amends of anyone. You know, I wake up knowing exactly what I've done the night before. So I've just got, like, a clear mind. So I think that's definitely one of my favourite things about drinking. There's other smaller things as well, like not having to worry about how I'm going to get home. I can always drive anywhere, not an issue. I feel a lot better, like we spoke about earlier, but with my running and playing football. This has helped me with my fitness. It's improved my relationship, not only with my fiance but with people around me, and I think I've got a lot more time for other people now. I'm not spending my weekends lying on the sofa feeling sorry for myself. I'm making more of an effort to connect with people and, you know, speak to people back home, things like that. I just think I'm probably just a lot more productive, just getting things done and getting out there and doing things that I wouldn't if I was drunk or hungover. I've absolutely loved it. What about yourself?
Very similar. It's actually it's brilliant to hear that. It's great to hear, like, how many positive things you've got that are affecting your life out of it. And I'd be very much similar. My relationships are so much better. They're better with my family. They're better with my friends. I feel healthier. Longevity wise, I'm so much happier, and not having to deal with, like, some of the you know, sometimes I did an episode recently where, you know, you can look back on your drinking days as being purely evil because it helps you with your sobriety. But there were good times, you know, there were times where you cracked up laughing or great sessions. But on the other side, I don't miss some seriously bad times with self-loading from hangovers that you get, or not being able to piece together parts of the evening. And that item of it, and just it just gives you much more confident. I'm so much happier. I'm a happier dude. I'm a more mellow dude. I'm more chilled. I'm more open and accepting of people. I'm less quick to anger, less quick to judge, and I'm just definitely, I think I'm a more rounded person, and definitely someone that I think I add more to the world now than I did beforehand. I took a lot from the world beforehand, and it's like what you said around like a lot of things that I did when I had alcohol, they were all about self-interest. Like, you know, you're just constantly in this reward cycle. Oh, I'm just going to work hard for this week so that I can go on my 12 pubs at Christmas and get locked and have a, you know, or this is, it's constantly linked into this reward thing. I deserve, you know, this holiday of boozing for 2 weeks because I've worked so hard all year. Whereas now I'm a completely different dude than that. And I just like, I've done things that I wouldn't have done otherwise, like marathons, sports. But I like the fact that, similar to you said as well, that I know how I'm going to get home. I like consistency. I like routine a bit. I'm not in the pipe and slipper shit, but I'm close enough to that. Gonna have to ask you, so anything that you want to put out there, just to listeners, or that on your feed, on Instagram, to wrap up the pod, any sort of last words or you know, things that you want to say to your followers?
I suppose just, yeah, I'm just very grateful for everyone who posts things on Instagram. I think it's quite brave of people to do it as well. A lot of people are very open and honest on Instagram. You know, they're not worried about being judged, and they're sort of doing a great job at inspiring others and just making me feel connected to other sober people. It's a really, really good community. So, yeah, just keep that up. It's really good to follow.
Yeah, and likewise with yourself. I'm so appreciative of you coming on the podcast. I think, look, we've got a great episode on it. Thanks a million for taking the time to talk to me. And
no worries.
You're welcome back as a guest at any time you want at all. So
thank you very much.
Brilliant. We'll wrap it up there.